Take your Bible, go to Ruth chapter 2. We'll be reading there just a moment. We're making our way through this wonderful old love story in the Old Testament. We've preached an overview, looked at chapter 1. We come to chapter 2 today. You know this story if you've read your Bible, but in case not, then you know that Elimelech was living in Bethlehem. There was a famine. He traveled 50 miles to the pagan land of Moab with his wife Naomi and two sons. Got there, those two boys married, then Elimelech died, the two boys died. Naomi's left with two daughters-in-law. One stays in Moab and the other, Ruth, goes back to Bethlehem with her. And we find them coming into Bethlehem today. And I am reading from Ruth 2. And we read these 23 verses. You follow along. There's but 85 verses in the whole of the book. And we find these 23 in Ruth chapter 2. So you follow along as I read, because this is God's blessed word. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. Now, Boaz means he is strong, he has strength. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "May the Lord be with you." And they said to him, "May the Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant who is in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" Now, some people, when I read it like that, they say, "Do you really?" I said, "Yeah. I think this old bachelor is smitten immediately. Whose young woman is this?" The servant in charge of the reapers replied, "She is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." Thus she came, and she remained from the morning until now, and she's been sitting in the house for a little while. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" Boaz replied to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to the people that you did not know previously know. May the Lord reward your work, and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your sight, my lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here, that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servant, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves. Do not insult her. Also, you purposefully pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city with her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. Her mother-in-law then said to her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz." Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead." Again Naomi said to her, "The man is our relative. He's one of our closest relatives." Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "Furthermore, he said to me, 'You should stay close to my servants until they have finished all the harvest.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you should go out with his maid so that others do not fall upon you in another field." So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. In the unfolding of his providence, the redemptive grace of God overcomes the undercurrents of life in the experiences of his children. So said Robert Morgan. Hear him again. In the unfolding of his providence, the redemptive grace of God overcomes the undercurrents of life in the experiences of his children. Anybody had any undercurrents this week? Oh yeah, they come, don't they? As the undercurrents come into life, Robert Morgan, and he talks about the laws and the principles of the crossing of the Red Sea, said that God's unfolding providence overcomes. We see that in Ruth, this second chapter. We see God's providence on display. Spurgeon said we all believe in God's providence. We just don't believe in it enough. God's providence sees after your life and mine. Oh, Ruth, she just happened to be in a certain field. She just happened to do the right work at the right time, at the right place, for the right owner. She just happened to be there. The King James uses the word H-A-P, the hap. You don't find that in our English language anymore, but it speaks about she just happened. It was her hap, the King James says. No, dear friend, she didn't just happen to be in the field where Boaz was the leader, doing the right work at the right time for the right owner. It was God's providence. Amen. Dear friend, God's providence leads you. Some of you think, "Oh, I've been so smart. I built this business. I did this thing." Oh, no. If you're God's child, he has with his hand of providence led you right where you are today. William Cooper, that great old poetry writer and hymn writer, was overcome with depression. He wound up in a home for the depressed, an asylum it was called in those days. After getting out of the asylum, John Newton of Amazing Grace days had great influence on William Cooper. You spell his life C-O-W, like Cowper, but it's pronounced Cooper, C-O-O. And Cooper, who became suicidal, went through deep valleys of depression. It is said that one night he was ready to kill himself and he called a driver to take him to a near bridge and he was going to jump to his death. It was a foggy night. The driver saw there was something amiss in his passenger and he said he just drove around. Finally, after a space of time, he brought him back home and Cooper said, "I told you." And he said, "I couldn't get there because of the fog." And he went back in to his house. And later that night, Cooper wrote what is hymn 73 in the hymnal in front of you. I told John, I asked him, I said, I've heard this quoted all my life, but I've never heard it sung. Oh, a time or two, a soloist or something, but I just never heard the church do it. God moves in a mysterious way. It's number 73, William C.O.W.P.E.R., Cooper. 1731, he died in 1800. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. You fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. When you don't understand, God is yet at work in providence, guiding us to the right field for the right work, for the right time, to meet the right people, to accomplish the right goal. This is the story of Ruth, the Moabitess maiden who will meet the most eligible bachelor of Bethlehem. And together, this older man and younger lady come to have a child that will then give us a ramp to the genealogy of David that will lead to the birth of Jesus the Christ. God has a hand of providence, not just in Ruth's life, but in your life. And the greatest verse in Ruth is not, I will go where you go and your God will be mine. No. That's good, but it's not best. Best is found in verse 12 of our chapter today, where Boaz says to her, may the Lord reward your work and your wages be full. From the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. And she goes on to say she has found favor. Under the wings of God. Now there are two pictures. One is what Jesus said in Matthew 23. When he came to Jerusalem, said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would, like a mother hen, draw you under my wings, but you would not. Most people picture here the hen bringing the chicks. And that is correct. But there is another illustrative picture of the wings of God. No commentator I can find agrees with me. They are all short-sighted, wrong, and evidently don't know how to pray. There are more wings than chicken wings in this text. And we'll see that at the conclusion of the message. Oh, the mother hen bringing the chicks. Yes, those are the wings that he speaks of here. When you come under the wings of God, and dear friend, if you don't have your life today under the wings of God, you need to get under the wings of God. How do you do it? You do it just like Ruth did in verse 10. She fell on her face. And that's when Boaz spoke about her under the wings of God. I was preaching at the First Baptist Church in Orlando, Florida about 3 months ago. I preached the morning message for the Florida Baptist Convention. Then we had lunch, and then we went to small groups, and I was to speak a word in the small group breakout session. And as we walked in, we walked into the Jim Henry Chapel. Longtime pastor of the First Baptist Church of Orlando, my dear friend. And as I walked in, I got my phone. I sent Dr. Henry a text. I said, "Jim, I've never been in your house before." So I've been in a big building, but I've never been in a Jim Henry Chapel. I said, "Man, it's a beautiful place. Pray for me as I try to speak a word." In a moment, I got a text back from Jim Henry, and it simply said, "Ruth 2, verse 12. That's all it said. And I said, "I don't know that verse." And I ran to it. And Jim Henry said to me these words, "May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Amen. Right. I changed my whole talk. It got my turn to give a testimony. I said, "Let me tell you about this chapel and the man it's named after and his favorite verse." I don't know if it was or not. I just took a little liberty there. And I told him he sent me that, and I began to see. Oh, the wings of God. We take refuge under the wing. What do we find under the wings of God? Well, let me share it with you. Number one, under the wings of God is provision. Provision. God rewards in the barley harvest. Yes, God uses man's work. This book was my mother's favorite book, and it was not because of redemption. It was because of work. She believed everybody ought to work. And I'm here to tell you, friend, if you won't work, you ought not eat. That's what the Word of God says. Now, if you can't work, somebody ought to help take care of you. Amen. But if you can work, get up off and go to work. Amen. Everywhere I go, there's a sign on the door, "Help needed." Every truck I go behind says, "We're looking for drivers." Everybody's looking. God rewards work. And His provision comes supernaturally, but I'm telling you, most often it will come when you are at work. Then God will work in your work. Proverbs 16, verse 3, "Commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established." James 2, in verse 20, that a faith without works, it's useless. It's the work of a fool that would just sit back as, "Well, I'm just going to believe God when He told you to get up and go do something." You can't save yourself by good works, but after you get saved, there's work to do. And there's labor to be done in this world. In this text here, God met Ruth's needs. But she didn't just sit at Naomi's house on the computer, sending out text messages, doing TikTok. No. She went to the field. And let me tell you, friend, when you go to the field, God fills the sack. That's how it works. Most people, they think that this book is full of miracles. There are a lot of miracles in this book, but this book is not, it's not, there are just seasons of miracles in the Bible. You find a season of miracles. Elijah and Elisha in the Judges, some of them. And then you get over the life of Jesus, you'll find miracles. But when you get into the epistles, you don't find miracles in the epistles. You find the work of the church. You find martyrs of the 12, the 11, they died. How'd they die? In a jailhouse. Could God have got them out? Yeah. But most of them died nailed to a cross somewhere. You see, friend, God uses our work. And after a while, life comes to an end. But in the middle of that, it is God that provides. God is the God of provision. Under His wings is our provision. How do you think you grow a church? You believe God, you pray, and you work. How do you grow a business? You believe God and live by godly principles, and you work. Get up and go to work. My mother hammered this in my heart. She said, "If you're going to pastor a church, don't be lazy. Go to work. They call you to do something, go do it." That's why she said every Saturday morning, after you play football on Friday night, you get up and you go to the store early. I said, I'm tired. She said, I'm tired too. I'm tired of you lying in the bed. Get up. Snatch them covers off of me. That was her favorite book. Why? Because Ruth went to work. When your hands find labor to do, do it. Do it. There's a time for waiting, there's a time for praying, but there's also a time for working. And it is under the wings of God that you find God's marvelous providential provision. Secondly, you find under the wings of God is protection. Protection. Notice in verse number 12, he said, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Yes. Listen to the word of God. David loved this. The psalmist said it. Psalm 36, verse number 7. How precious is your loving kindness, O God, and the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They take refuge. They find their protection under the shadow of your wings. Psalm 57 and verse number 1. Look at the word of God. Be gracious to me, O God, and be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge until destruction passes me by. There's the protection of God. Psalm 61, verse number 4, let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings. And then there's the Selah, the pause that is there. Psalm 91, in verse number 4, he will cover you with his pinions. Under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. Ruth found favor like David found favor in this refuge. Verse 2, verse 10, verse 13. Ruth said it again. I found favor. I found favor. I found. That's the protection of God. How does this old church keep on going? It's the favor of God. How do you keep going? It's the favor of God. Thank him for his favor and get under his wings. She fell on her face. Friend, there's only one way to get under the wings of God. That's fall on your face. Come in full surrender of your life unto God. Give him your all. And under the wings of God's provision, under the wings of God's protection, like a mother hen bringing those chicks. But thirdly, under the wings of God is not only provision and protection, but there is also pardon. Pardon. This is really what I think Boaz was talking about. I think he's talking here not about the hen, I think he's talking about the angel's wings. I think there's an angelic picture. For in Exodus 25, when you read the word of God, you find that God gave Moses an outline for the temple, and inside that temple he was to build an ark, not an ark like a boat that Noah had, but a chest. And on top of that chest was a mercy seat made of pure gold. And attached to the mercy seat, it was made out of one piece. There was a cherub on this end and a cherub on this end. Those angelic figures were to be on each end. And in Exodus 37, he speaks about it in verse number 7, and he made two cherub of gold, and he made them of hammered work on the two ends of the mercy seat. Yes, he put them there. You can read about it, Exodus 37. And verse 7, 8, 9, he gives us a cherub on each end. A cherub at one end, a cherub on the other, each one made of one piece of the mercy seat. The cherub had their wings spread upward, covering the mercy seat. Yes, one on each end. I got a picture of it. I found this in Israel years ago. I bought it when I was there. Look at this picture. There it is. There it is. So I keep this in my office. If you're ever in there, you come, it's up in a cabinet, and they would carry it with poles. They were not to touch it. And the ark, the chest, and then the top was made of gold, and then those angels with their wings on either side, and they are to face each other. and they're both, their wings are up, and it says they're to be over the ark looking at each other, and there they are. It's the mercy seat. When you go to the New Testament, the word mercy seat is our word propitiation. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go in, and on this ark, he would sprinkle the blood of the Lamb 7 times. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Why 7? Full perfection. Forgiven. Come back the next year on the atonement. High priest there again. But listen to the word of God in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. By this we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. How often? Once for all. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time. Remember, he's writing this to the Hebrews. This is our Jewish friends. The same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Glory to God. They go to the mercy seat, and underneath the cherubs, underneath the angel's wings, there they would drop the blood. Let me tell you, Jesus went and made sacrifice once and for all for your sin, dear friend. All that need be done for your salvation's been done at Calvary's cross. It's the blood of the Lamb, once and for all. For these, where Ruth was, Boaz is looking back. It hadn't been very long since they got the blueprint. Coming under the angel's wings, and they found the forgiveness of sin. The news for us this side of Calvary is we don't have to go in anymore and offer the blood, because as we saw, it's been offered once and for all forever. Amen. As Bill Stafford used to say, I'm so saved, it's pitiful. I'm saved, I'm secure. You can't get me unsaved, because the blood of the Lamb has paid the price. Come, dear friend, if you think you're going to get to heaven some other way besides Jesus, you are foolishly mistaken. There is only one way given, and there's one way paid, and one road paved. It is the Christ way. It is the blood-stained banner of the cross. It is what Jesus has done, his propitiation, glory to God, under the angel's wing. So what should you do when you find yourself under the angel's wing? Some of y'all think, boy, I've just worked hard, and I've just really... Oh, you've been stupid. God takes our stupid and just moves it where it needs to be. See, preachers shouldn't use that word. Stupid. It means without sense. It means thinking you can when you know you can't. And even, aren't you so glad that when you were that way, God in his providence kind of kicked you over where you needed to be? I wouldn't be in this church if it wasn't for the providence of God. No. You wouldn't be doing what you're doing if you're a child of God, except for the providence of God. You've come under the wings, and God has provided, and he's protected, and he's pardoned. What is our reply? What is our expression to God's providence? Well, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 63, 6 and 7, Look at this. When I remember you on my bed, right here, I meditate on you in the night watches. You have any night watches? You're on the bed and you can't go to sleep. You have been my help. And in the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. Tonight, when you can't go to sleep, just in the night watch, remember the goodness of God and sing. You said, preacher, I'll wake up the house. Glory to God, wake them up. They come running in and say, what's going on? Say, I'm just remembering the goodness of God. Sing for joy. Glory to God. Just give him praise. Yes. And then in the morning when you get up, remember the words of the old prophet from London, Spurgeon, who said, wash your face every morning in a bath of praise. I read this a few days ago, and this morning I went out by my little pond and I sat down out there and I just bathed my face in praise. I just gave him glory. I had a Holy Ghost spell out there this morning. I just thanked him. I looked back and saw this and that and that, and I just washed my face in praise. He said, preacher, I don't know if I'd like that. I didn't give a rip if you like it. I wasn't talking to you. I was just saying, he said, be full of joy. Right. You know, joy had helped Baptists. Most Baptists I preach to needs a dose of this. That's right. A little get up and shout. Joy, joy, joy. Amen. Amen. So we ought to do it with joy. Amen. Right. So has anybody got a praise today? Anybody just pop up and give me 3 seconds, 5 seconds, 10 of praise? Yes, ma'am. What you got?
Praise God for my salvation.
Amen. Grateful to God. You ought to be down here where I am during singing so you could hear her. Amen. She bless you. Somebody else got a praise today?
Praise God for our church.
For the church? Yes, ma'am.
I made it through 4 years of depression and anxiety. Mm. Come on the other side of it.
Praise God.
Glory to God. Made it through depression. She's Mr. Cooper's twin. Amen. Just what we're talking about. Somebody else? Just a good word of praise? Who is that?
Over here.
Yes, ma'am. Where in the back? A healthy great-grandson. Somebody over here start to say? Yes, ma'am. 3 months. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah. What did he say? Amen. Yes, sir.
My grandson's being licensed to preach at First.
A sister church.
Brent Baptist.
It is Brent.
He's Brent. Thank you.
Amen.
Nervous, think what it was.
Amen. Good. Yes, sir.
Unmerited favor.
Unmerited favor. Who are you?
My name is Bo, sir.
I saw you today. You helped me sing today. Yeah. Have you been here before?
Yes, sir. Many times.
Good, good. I'm glad you're here. Got that African necklace around your neck. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Yes, sir.
You bless the preacher today.
God bless you.
Yeah. Some people are easy to preach to, and then there's other people. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
No, don't forget your gum. Just sell it.
I love the criminal. I can walk.
I can walk using this deal right here. let me ask you this morning, what's your problem? Huh? Bless God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Yeah, yeah. Somebody asked me, I'd say, what's that sound I hear down there? I said, that's that guy hollering amen on the front. Why don't you try it? Amen.
I ask for a miracle and I've got it.
Amen. That's for a miracle and got it. Who's that in the back? Amen. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Praise the Lord. All the way from Orlando.
I praise God every day for taking my alcohol addiction away from going to Most Excellent.
Amen. Through MEW took my alcoholic addiction away. Amen. Anybody else got a word?
Just a quick. Let me get up every morning.
Let me get up today. Yeah.
Every morning.
Anybody in the balcony? Did I hear somebody in the balcony? Oh, no. Go right ahead. Yes, sir.
Grace.
Amen for grace. Yes, he did. Yeah. Praise his name. Been 14 years. It's been that long. Wow. Well, we prayed through that situation, that brain tumor. God raised him up. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am, way up there in the top.
I live in America. I live in America.
Amen. Well, the Bible says you ought to have some joy, doesn't it?
Amen.
You come under his wings, that's the refuge. And so you come and you fall at his feet. And you find refuge there. Somebody needs to come run to this altar today and find refuge in Christ. Come under his wings. You're here without Jesus to be said, come. You're here today and need a church family. Come. Little 9-year-old boy came after early church. Your granddaddy brought him. Or really, the grandson brought the granddaddy. And he said, Pastor, he told me he wanted to come down here and tell you he's been saved just a few days ago and he's ready to be baptized. Said his daddy is away and his parents. He said, it's just kind of fallen on me to help him. I hugged that little boy. I know there's a lot of people in here would say this about yourself, but I tell you, I thought I had the greatest daddy in the world. And that little boy coming to church ain't got nothing. He got no man to put his arm around him. This church gonna put their arms around him. We're gonna do that. But we can't take daddy's place. We'll do the best we can. Well, I just thank God for my daddy this morning. When that little boy told me that. If you got a daddy, you ought to tell him you love him. Especially if he bring you to church. I told an early crowd, you know, I never did have a drug problem. You're talking about most section. I said, the only drug problem I had is my mama drug me to church every week. But thank God for it.
Amen.
I learned some stuff. Even when I wasn't listening, it was the providence of God. Next week. Boy, just wait you find out what Ruth does next week. Oh, man. And Boaz, he flips out next week. Oh, yeah. And God continues to move.